next case this morning is United States against Singleton. Mr. Cook.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Cook. I'm an attorney with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant, Brandon Singleton, in this case. The issue in this appeal is whether the district court's relevant conduct determinations were clearly erroneous. Below, Mr. Singleton was charged with and pleaded guilty to distribution.
I had a supplemental filing. You've also made a Kimbrough and Taylor point. Right. Now, the government's brief says, at least in a footnote, that the amended guidelines don't affect the defendant's range. Is there any role here for Kimbrough, or was this all caught up by minimums?
Well, that reason is because it would be one of the findings was over 4.5 kilograms of crack, and therefore that's still a level 38 under the new guidelines. And so it doesn't have anything to do with a mandatory minimum or anything like that. It's just if this court were to affirm the quantity finding under the relevant conduct.
Yeah, the Kimbrough doesn't have to do with the quantity finding. Kimbrough has to do with the exercise of discretion given the quantity finding.
So
given the quantity finding, is this at a mandatory minimum or is it in excess of a mandatory minimum?
I think the Kimbrough would still apply, right? The limited remand would still be in effect.
So that wasn't the question. So
it's could you address my question directly?
Yes.
Is this in excess of the mandatory minimum? Is the sentence here in excess of the mandatory minimum?
No,
it looks to you say no now. I mean, 210 months is the sentence. It looks like that is not a mandatory minimum sentence.
Correct.
Yeah.
I was thinking maximum.
Thank you.
Apologize.
So to come at this a slightly different way, when I looked at the footnote in the government's brief, it seemed to me that if we were to affirm the district court's decision to credit the McCrady testimony, then there might not be much left for a Kimbrough remand. If we were instead to look to the district court's alternative ground, looking at the proffer where it was 3 kilograms and something, then there wouldn't be a base offense level for any quantity of cocaine base over 4.5 kilograms because there's less.
I think the confusion is that footnote was written before this decision in Taylor. So I think under Taylor, a limited remand would be appropriate regardless of what this...
The question I'm having, and perhaps my colleague too, is I can't understand, other than a mandatory minimum, why the reduction in the guidelines would not matter. Is that because this sentence is already below any guideline range? The two-level reduction in the amended guidelines should apply to every crack defendant who is not at a mandatory minimum unless the sentence is already below the correctly calculated guideline range under the new amended guidelines. That's what led to my question. Perhaps it was leading to my colleague's question.
It's similar, but as I understand it, he had a guideline sentence. He didn't have a sentence below
the guidelines. If he had a guideline sentence, then the amended guidelines would apply
directly. Right. He has the bottom of the guidelines.
Then I don't understand the government's footnote. Well, we'll have to talk about this with
I think I cleared up. It's because even under...
I don't want to cross-examine you about Mr. Moore's footnote. I'm just trying to figure out what we know about the sentence.
bottom line is, though, you think it needs to be remanded.
Under Kimbrough.
Under
Kimbrough and Taylor.
You think it needs to be remanded.
To consider the disparity.
Right, exactly.
Regardless of the amendment.
Exactly. Right. And there's no mandatory minimum.
Okay.
And that's your position.
Okay.
Right.
So your other point, though, is I guess, the attack on relevant conduct. And there, I guess, as often is the case, it depends on what kind of lens you're using. And yours seems to be very tight. You know, it's got to be the same informant behind the same apartment complex and so on and so forth, whereas the government is saying, look, this guy's in the crack business, and he's in Alton, Illinois, and he's doing it for years. Isn't that really more what this line of cases, what this concept is about?
Well, I don't think so when you look at the aggregation rule cases. When you look at the cases where the quantity, the sentence is is controlled by the relevant conduct determination. I think in those cases, the Ortiz case, Ruiz, that Bacaleo case that we cite, in those cases where uncharged transactions control, as in here where this 6.6 grams of crack cocaine amounted to 0.13% of this
vodka. No, I understand. And unfortunately, it happens all the time that what you're, as you know, I'm sure.
Right.
But that's what the guidelines say. 1B1.3 says you've got to look at the whole course of conduct. And frankly, you know, Mr. Singleton seems to have been busy in the cocaine business.
Well, I think that may be true. But when you look at McGrady, the testimony they relied on, putting aside the basic credibility issues with his past and all that, bottom line is that the testimony shows that he was dealing weekly with Mr. Singleton some 4 months before this controlled buy. The quantities were 1 to 2 ounce quantities. Mr. McGrady was then assuming that, you know, he's serving a sentence right now, so apparently he was reselling the crack. That's a completely different scheme. There's no scheme or plan there. There's no same course of conduct with respect to one controlled buy to confidential informant.
Well, I mean, it's always going to be one buy. 28 grams isn't that different from 6.6 grams. There's no, you know, it's more, I recognize, but it seems to me that if you're going to have the one controlled sale, you could say that about any of his many sales over the years.
I think this would be a very different case if Mr. McGrady, if they had testimony that immediately around this controlled buy, these things were happening. McGrady was in jail at that point. He was incarcerated in July. So under these facts, admittedly it's a difficult argument, but these facts, and in light of the aggregation involved here, we would ask the court to vacate and remand the sentence for resentencing. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Mr. Moore, I think you can tell where we're going to start. What's up with the footnote?
Well, let me start by saying if it pleases the court and counsel, and look, with regards to the appropriate, whether or not it's appropriate to remand, I think it turns on whether or not you use the proffer amounts, which come in below the 4.5 kilos, or if you use the amount which Judge Reagan found was appropriate, and that was the testimony provided by Mr. McCready, which comes in above.
Lost. The proper amount is the amount that the district judge found.
Well, I think
Judge definitional again.
He found that McCready's testimony.
Look. Yeah. Stop with McCready's testimony. Tell me what this footnote means, because I can't decode it. You're saying that the amended guidelines have no effect on the sentence. And it seems to me that's true in one of two circumstances. One is that the sentence is at the statutory minimum, which 210 months doesn't appear to be. And the other is that the existing sentence is already below the bottom of the range specified by the amended guideline. And that doesn't appear to be true either.
That is not true.
So what is the meaning of your footnote?
Well, I'm not going to cop out and say this isn't my footnote, which it is not. But I've read the footnote, and I have some of the same difficulty with it. I didn't write the brief, and I'm not quite sure exactly what
it
is.
So I can see, therefore, there is no reason not to remand on the basis of Taylor in this case.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree. All right.
Okay.
Well, and I guess having said that, let me just go back to McCready for just a moment. And there's a decision writer that came out of this court not too long ago, about a year and a half, I think, which deals with the question of what the quantum of proof is with regards to the tail wagging the dog, which is an issue that was raised. And I think, in fact, writer called it the tail wagging the torso. What we've got here, in effect, is a case where the defendant, when he pled, pled to over 5 grams. His counsel, when Judge Reagan asked him what he thought the relevant conduct was, and of course this is an open plea, there's no plea agreement, he says, I think he's going to be good for a guideline range which carries 210 months at the maximum, and that turns out is what he got. So it's not like the guy's walking into it without his eyes wide open. And then at the sentencing, that position changes to all he's good for is the 6.6 grams. It results in our putting on Mr. McCready. The judge made, I think, pretty much a bulletproof record in terms of credibility for McCready. As he said, there are no swans swimming in the sewers, but to the extent that anybody with 7 felonies can have...
Well, yesterday people would have said there are no cougars prowling the streets of Chicago.
Well, yes, but that's a dead issue, isn't it? That's,
oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Shouldn't say that to a cat lover.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm married to one, too, so...
But let me ask you a question about Mr. Singleton's point. I didn't see, is the government arguing that he forfeited this course of conduct argument? Did he raise that before the district court clearly?
No, he did not raise the course of conduct.
But you forfeited the forfeiture. I mean, you've just plunged right in, I think.
So. I have.
All right, so we're back to square one.
So, in any event, he winds up with a sentence that is essentially was within the guideline range of what he expected to get in the open plea, no matter how you cut it, the conduct with Mr. McCready and Mr. Singleton was basically that of, I don't guess you can have common law brothers, but they lived together with the same mother for years and years and years and were in the cocaine business constantly from the time they were teenagers. The only times they weren't in business together were the times that Mr. McCready was off. He did 3 stints in the Illinois Department of Corrections, and every time he came back, he would be back in. So we do have a regular pattern in terms of dealing with that issue. And if the court has any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll be happy to sit down. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Anything further, Mr. Cook?
Just briefly, I had to get my pen anyway. So, on this, our second issue, this insufficient findings, I think the case law that we've cited in these aggregation rule cases, I think a remand is appropriate for more specific findings at a minimum. And if a limited remand is appropriate under Kimbrough and Taylor, we would suggest we might as well look into that issue as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Our fifth